No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so I'm getting ready to go to the Turks and Caicos. Captain Dennis is going to join me, and he threatened last week to, bring study materials on board this liveaboard boat we're going to be on for a week. So during my surface interval of diving that I'm supposed to learn how to fly again, I was like, I never forgot.
Yeah.
If you could only see Ed's expression. It'd fill the entire show.
Yeah.
Okay. But being that you're going to have to expound more than just give me that evil look.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea, Greg. You could get the written test done when you come back.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've got to get through a few
more
things.
What is it this time?
Well, I got to get through the dive trip. I got to stay focused a little bit on that. But we're going to talk shop.
Okay.
I'm not going to do any like hardcore stuff.
Now, is he bringing the airplane down?
He's not. No. He's dropping the ball. So, we got to bust his,
No.
No, we don't have to.
That's
we should.
It's our job to bust yours, not your job to bust his.
Well, I told him.
Or our job to bust his.
I said, don't bring any materials, but feel free to give me an oral exam for aviation. So right. He can kind of, test me. We can talk shop a little bit. So that's what we're going to do.
Good.
All right. So we are going to do that. We got that coming out. You'll hear about it in a couple weeks when he calls up and says, Greg doesn't remember anything.
I'm going to expect a full report. In fact, I'll text him and tell him that I want detailed notes taken.
Yeah. Well, he's...
And even video, maybe.
I have no doubt Dennis is not going to let me off the hook.
Seeing you in a low-speed lip stall going,
low speed lip stall.
Low speed lip stall.
That's pretty good. I like that.
That's a low speed lip stall.
All right.
You want to know what a high speed lip stall sounds like?
Humana, 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 humana. Okay. Well, there. I'll practice both of those.
It'll just trust me. It'll just come naturally when he asks you something that you don't know.
Possibly. Very possible. All right. Well, I'm going to, at least my head's in the game. That's what matters most. But look, I got a few things I'm kind of looking towards the future for my flight adventures.
Okay.
And one is, we're based in Orlando, Florida, right?
We are.
We're the home of Disney World, Universal Studios, theme park mecca.
Yes.
Is Orlando, Florida. And yet we aren't getting Aviation World first.
Really?
We're not getting our own aviation theme park.
We have one already.
We do?
Fantasy of Flight.
That's considered an aviation theme park?
Yeah, when you're driving down
I-4. Oh, yeah, I know which one place you're talking about. I didn't know that was considered a theme park.
Yeah, that was Kermit Weeks' whole reason for moving it where he moved it.
He called it the wrong thing. It should have been, Flying World.
Flying World.
Yeah, but there's a place that is just being completed. Let's see, where is this place? Is it Georgia or Atlanta? Or let me think here. I got to read.
Does that say Kennesaw?
Yeah.
Kennesaw is north side of Atlanta.
Okay, right. And they have, they're calling this like the world's first aviation theme park. But it just looks like a park to me. But they're calling it a theme park. And it made me think, wait a minute. Why don't we have... Plane World or aviation theme park.
Now, he scaled it back quite a bit, but that was Kermit Weeks' original idea with Fantasy of Flight. They actually had simulators built to look like Corsairs and Zeros, and you could go in and dogfight each other.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, they've scaled it back quite a bit. They've focused now on it being more of a museum and a restoration facility.
Well, see, that's not a theme park.
I know,
that's...
but originally that was his it was just another Orlando attraction was what he was trying to build it as.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how this would come to be, but I think we do need it. I think it would be a good theme park.
Yeah.
And I no offense to the folks up there in Georgia, but well, I was thinking,
why? What
are
they going to have at this thing?
Like a park. It's more like, you know, you walk around and there's aviation-themed playgrounds. And
oh, we've got that, too.
Yeah.
We've got that right by the Executive Airport.
Yeah.
You know, that F-4 that's on display, that's Kittinger Park, named after Colonel Kittinger.
Yeah. Well,
first man to go supersonic without an airplane.
And see, I'm kind of taking
actually
it.
Who lives here in Orlando right now.
All right.
Why don't you have him on the show?
Well, you know him.
I don't know him.
Well, you know of him.
I know of him.
I don't even know of him. You know of him. I mean, you know him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Blame it on me, Greg. Blame it on me.
You know, you should get the restraining order every now and then as a member of Just Plain Radio crew. Not, it shouldn't always fall on my shoulders.
Yeah, but people see me and they're not as scared. When they see you, they just get a little scared.
Well, maybe. I am pretty intimidating in my 6'1", tall frame and svelte, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
the park there out of Atlanta, though, is a new theme, you know, flight-themed park. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of taking it to a theme park level. They're not really calling it a theme park like I was thinking, but I was thinking, look, you know, we should have our own park. Maybe we just do it at, what about ORL? Turning that into the world's first executive airport theme park. How hard would that be? All you got to do is throw a couple rides, a Ferris wheel, and cotton candy, and you know, elephant ears, fried Snickers bars, whatever.
Well, that just means it's a carnival, not a theme
or
park.
A really cool FBO.
Yeah, they've got those,
but not like a theme park thing. It ought to have a theme. That's my point. I mean, it just made me think. Like, gosh, we ought to have that.
Themed. It's an airport, so it's
right,
airplane
but it doesn't.
Themed.
I mean, where are the characters? Where's the little flight?
Have you
guy?
Met some of the people out there?
Oh,
there are
true.
Plenty of characters.
Yeah, well, you know, the furry
our
ones.
Friend Keith being one of them.
Hey, you know what? He would be an excellent
and he does
like,
have
Chewbacca
a beard right now, so he's kind of a furry.
He is. He's very hairy. Yes. But he says he's losing the beard. He has to.
Yeah, when he goes flying at early November, he's got to fly the jet. He's got to shave it off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he's going to try to keep it till then.
Okay, well, at least we have our Chewbacca theme park character at the ready, you know. But I'm just saying, this it's one of those ideas that I'm sure we'll file accordingly. But it just this story about this one up in Georgia made me think.
It is your idea, so it'll probably end up with the rest of your ideas.
Okay, yeah, we definitely need you know some kindling for the fire, that stack of paper of notes. Actually, I don't even bother writing them down anymore. Okay, so that was one idea that we'll probably never use. But I don't know, no one other than this fantasy flight thing has ever attempted such a thing, as far as you know. Is that right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should, though. I mean, they had the planes movie at Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, they've incorporated some of that into the theme park, but we should have our own isolated flying theme park. But yeah, you're with me on this, aren't you?
I'm with you on
that. Okay, so he doesn't believe it would be one of those typical ideas. All right, well, here's another idea that this is more looking towards the future, and maybe that's why I'm waiting to get my certificate. Boeing has put down a marker of $2 million. $2 million is up for grabs for the first team or group that will create an electric flying delivery system of people. So they want all walks of life, not just the colleges or whatever. Anybody you can register for this thing. And win $2 million if they can transport, I don't know if they have a limit of how many people. The goal is to see 2-year team contest to leverage recent advances in propulsion energy, lightweight materials, and personal flight. So they want somebody to create basically one of those Jetson mobiles type of deals, and they'll give you $2 million if you can pull it off.
Okay.
And that's kind of good. You think we need that kind of motivation? Will that be enough?
I mean, it's like, you know, the X-plane and all that, you know, private space flight. And you can see the stuff that's come out of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
well, exactly. It's the same kind of thing.
That's the same kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it gives people a reason to try to be inventive.
Yeah, they want something ultra-compact, quiet, urban-compatible, and, you know, a personal flying capsule or something that can carry a person 20 miles without refueling or recharging with vertical or near-vertical takeoff and landing capability. That's all we got to do. That's all we got to create, and then we can, you know, I'll take $1.5 million, you take 500.
5 million?
500 bucks.
Yeah, because that comes out. The rest comes out of your pocket, right?
Well, what do we need it for? We already got the blueprint. I watched the Jetsons when I was a kid. So I already got my plan in place. That $2 million is mine. Or yours if you have a better idea. All right, so there you go. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
All of a sudden, here comes my pilot, and oh, God. These guys are that cool, you just want to slug them. It's just not fair. They got the good hair, the good chin, they got that eyebrow that's always cocked. Nobody ever asks a pilot, what do you do for a living? Because they're like, what the hell do you think I do? Look at my eyebrow. And he is so cool. He goes, Bill, relax. I've been flying for 20 years and I've only had to eject 3 times. Everything went great.
You bragging about that?
He goes, I'm just kidding. I've never had to eject. Oh, lucky me, I got the funny pilot. What kind of sick joke is that?
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed today, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Ed, I know you got a story, or I don't know, so the latest accident stats?
Yeah.
Has it just been released? Is that what's going on, or what?
Yeah. Well, it's an effort on the FAA's part to basically make pilots more aware of very serious scenario called loss of control. basically, 2016 shows 413 people died in 219 general aviation accidents, and the overwhelming number were caused by loss of directional control.
Okay. First of all, that is that number up or down, or do we know?
That number's up.
It's up? That up substantially? That's not up that much, is it?
Significant, but not substantial.
So okay. 400 and something?
Yeah.
That's up from what, 300 and something?
That I don't know. They don't cover that part, but they just said it's an alarming increase.
And so loss of control, why?
Well, it happens in all phases of flight.
Yeah.
Okay. Happens on takeoff, happens on landing, happens in cruise. Basically, there are other contributing factors that lead up to it. You know, when you look at poor judgment, poor aeronautical decision making, failure to recognize aerodynamic stall or spin entry, or failure to execute the proper recovery if one does inadvertently happen. You know, it failure to maintain airspeed, failure to follow procedures. These are all factors that can result in the loss of directional control. But when we're talking about loss of directional control, you know, we're talking about a scenario where not only did we stall, but we're probably entered a spin. How could we get there? The only way you can stall the airplane, or the only way you can spin the airplane, is stall in an uncoordinated fashion. Mm-hmm. That's why you can remember me harping on you about right rudder, Greg, keep it coordinated, right? You remember hearing those words?
Right rudder.
Row, row, right row.
Yes.
Now we're off the Jetsons. Come on. Back to some serious
stuff.
That's
Scooby-Doo.
No, it was.
Oh, wait, no, that was Astro, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Astro.
Sorry, George.
Had a guy that actually named his dog Astro after that.
Okay.
But back to what we're talking about here. There's an alarming rate, and the FAA is on a major push to help educate people about this, to talk about the scenarios that people are getting into, and to hopefully prevent them from getting into those situations. And, that something goes wrong on takeoff and they're focused on everything but flying the airplane. And they pitch up and they're uncoordinated and a stall occurs and a spin occurs at, 400 feet. There is no recovery from that. And there is no walking away from that.
Mm.
Now, let's talk. Let's see what you remember about stalls.
Well, if you start to go into a stall, you immediately want to pitch down so you can get the...
You lower what?
Lower the nose.
Well, not the nose, per se, but...
The push in on the yoke.
Well, yeah, we push in on the yoke to reduce what?
To increase airspeed, so we...
airspeed does increase, but that's not the main factor.
Of getting
every
out of the stall?
What has to happen for a stall to occur?
You have lost airspeed. There's not enough wind going over the wings.
Yeah, more basic than that. We've exceeded something.
I exceeded the angle of attack.
The critical angle of attack.
Critical. It's critical because it'll stall if you...
The wing will stall at the same angle, angle every time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have as much to do with the pitch attitude of the airplane as it does to the flight path of the airplane. So let's remember what angle of attack is. Angle of attack is the relationship between the relative wind and the chord line, which is the imaginary line between the leading edge and the trailing edge of the wing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when the airplane's relative wind is, I think it's a really bad term because it's not wind, but it is simply the air passing above and below the wing, and it is traveling opposite that of the airplane's flight path. So the propeller pulls us through the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and creates air going over the top of the wing and the bottom of the wing.
Correct.
And we increase our angle of attack, we increase our lift, right?
Correct.
Up until a point. We can pull up and increase the angle of attack too much, and we can exceed the critical angle of attack, and the airplane will stall, right?
Yes.
So how do we recover? And that's where you're talking about pitching nose down. We want people to be thinking more about angle of attack. We want to reduce the angle of attack.
So however you do that, whether that's pitching down or turning or whatever.
It's going to be changing the angle of the wing with the relative wind.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got obviously pitch control that does that. So you do pitch the nose forward to reduce the angle of attack and realign it with the airflow. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens when the stall occurs is the airplane may be going in a climb, may be going straight and level, but all of a sudden, after the stall occurs, the flight path changes because we no longer have enough lift to overcome gravity, so it starts moving downward, not straight down, but does start descending.
It can flutter, or it could go into a spin.
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Way ahead of them all the time.
Yeah, right. So I'm just saying that we have to think about where is that relative wind, because the flight path just changed. So we have to change the wing to align it with that flight path. Now, there are some devices out there that have become very, very inexpensive in the past 5 years. They're called angle of attack indicators. I've been flying in a Cessna 206 that has one. Mm-hmm. And it will indicate as our angle of attack is closing in on that critical angle. Yeah. And it will give us a light warning as well as an oral warning much before the stall horn. Stall horn comes on about 5 knots before we exceed the critical angle attack. This one will be showing us slowly approaching the critical angle attack. So we've got more time to react and change the angle of attack.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So this is something that technology is actually being offered in new Cessna aircraft starting 2016. They started offering them even in Cessna 172s. As an option. I've now, and of course, Keith, if he was here, he'd be talking about angle of attack indicators all the time because jets have had them for years.
Right.
So the big push is try to get this type of device in more airplanes. If you look at the Icon A5, the center instrument in it is an angle of attack indicator.
Hmm. Okay, so technology is catching up to help us with this
help
stuff.
Us with this stuff. That's right.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. Learning stuff today about the angle of attack and the device we need in our plane to help us.
Now, it's not the be-all, end-all to solve the problem.
Well, I'll just tell you, hey, you're going to exceed it.
Well,
wake up, idiot.
The bottom line is the pilot still needs to be vigilant. If he doesn't have this equipment, or if he has this equipment, doesn't matter. They still have to be always thinking about, you know, where is the relative wind and how is it attacking the airplane?
Well, you still got the air horn on a 172.
Yeah, but like I said, that's sometimes masked and sometimes a little too late. Because it might be, if you're approaching the stall quickly, you'll get the warning a very short time before it actually gets hazardous. Now, The other thing is, if you stall the airplane and it's coordinated, yeah, the nose is going to drop and you're going to release the pressure and you're going to realign the angle of attack with the relative wind and you're going to fly out. It's not going to take a whole lot of altitude to do that. It's if you stall the airplane in a uncoordinated situation, then we are going to very likely end up in a spin. And it takes, you know, 900 to 1,000 feet to recover from a spin. And if you're in the traffic pattern, do you have room to do that?
No, I wouldn't have when I did my little go-around
360?
Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked impressive, but if I would have come out of that poorly.
And that's exactly what you thought about. You thought, okay, I'm doing this turn down low, and what happens to stall speed as you go into a steeper turn?
It goes, you don't have to go as fast.
It increases.
Yeah.
It goes up.
The chances of
your speed is down and stall speed went up. Mm-hmm. And so the odds of stalling in that scenario are better than...
Not really in my case, though, because when I did that and I went around in this 360 that the air traffic controller lady told me to do that I wasn't used to doing, but I figured, hey, she told me to do it, I better do it.
Wrong.
And was wrong. I just looked at the ground like, oh, no. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, well, you're not going
well,
down.
And for those listeners that don't know the story, on Greg's second solo, they made him do a 360-degree turn on final at about 300 feet above the ground.
Yeah.
Not exactly a safe operation.
Yeah, but I did, you know, it's memorable.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to learn from my mistakes, and I'm supposed to live through them. That's the idea.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Increase altitude. Stall.
You can always go around. If it don't look right coming down, don't wait until your side of me is sliding on the ground. You can always.
Had that song playing when I was doing that 360.
I mean, I know how you do the radio show and you put these things together, but boy, that was just perfectly timed,
yeah.
Wasn't it? I'm sure you're going to try to take credit for it, but I know it's
of course I
know it's a bunch
purpose.
Of I know it's a bunch of bovine scatology, so it was just pure luck.
It could have been.
But no, actually very appropriate that, you know, the stall warning was going off, and then go around is a scenario where a lot of these loss of directional controls things can and do occur, because we're going from a descending attitude to a climbing attitude. We're trying to rush through things because something's already gone wrong.
Right. Cut your losses, go around.
You know, a lot of people like with airplanes with electric trim, they like to come in and they like to land with their finger on the trim button so it makes the landing really smooth. But the last second, if they try to do a go around, very likely could end up at a very low altitude in what they call a trim stall. Do you remember what a trim stall is?
Refresh my memory.
Okay. So we've put too much nose up trim in, and we go to full power, and the nose wants to pitch up. Anytime we put power in with flaps down, the nose is going to want to pitch
right.
up.
Yeah.
But now with that added with the nose up trim, it's going to be almost uncontrollable pitch up to where it could actually put you in a stall. That's why they call it a trim stall.
Uh-huh.
And so that there's a scenario. Okay, we're very unexpectedly in a stalling situation, and we just threw a lot of power in there, which is going to cause what to happen?
If you throw power in when you're pitched up,
yeah, at a slow airspeed, high nose attitude, low airspeed, high power setting, what happens, and that we have to compensate for?
Well, the nose is going to go up higher, right?
Well, yeah, but. In addition to that, the nose is going up higher because of the trim and the power.
Yeah.
But what else occurs?
Oh,
think slow flight. Think climbs. What foot's moving over here?
Your rudder?
Yeah. Do we have to do? We have to do something with the rudder, right?
Yeah. You got to compensate with to
do something
offset
with,
the power.
You have to do something with the rudder, right?
You got to hit it. You gotta
Which
do
one?
That. Let's see. More power, right rudder? No. You got to offset the power with the left rudder. I don't remember. It's one or the it's a left or right rudder.
How many times did it say, what do you have to do with the rudder, right?
Yes.
I was giving you hints, Greg.
Well, you were just kicking.
Foot was moving?
I just saw it. I was like, look, I never saw you do the can-can. And I was like. He's telling me
I'm
something.
I'm trying to make you look better, okay?
I'm thinking you
and
have
it's
to go
rare
to the bathroom.
For me to do that. No, but when we increase power like that, the torque, spiral and slipstream, P factor is going to cause the airplane to want to turn to the left. So we compensate for right rudder. But, of course, by turning to the left, that yawing motion is what's making the airplane uncoordinated. So now
that's
all
what
of a sudden we're pitching
yawned.
Up into the stall
well,
and
the
we're
power.
Uncoordinated. So yeah. We're at low altitude. We have a very good chance of a spin scenario at a low altitude. Once
Got
again,
it
goes back to that loss of direction control.
Yeah.
It really does come back to poor aeronautical decision making, poor procedures by the pilot. Had an instructor come to me the other day, and he described a go around situation that he was trying to do a checkout with a customer who was already a private pilot, already instrument rated, and just wanted to rent our airplanes. So they were the approach was poor, and the customer didn't realize how poor, so the instructor called for a go-around. And so in that instance, this guy doesn't add power. He immediately reaches over and pulls all of his flaps up. So now the saying for a go-around is pitch up, power up, clean up, talk up, in that order.
Yeah.
So we go full power, then we start raising the nose to stop the descent, then we start reducing flaps. And we don't reduce all of them, we just do it one setting at a time, right?
Right.
So just one click. So we don't drastically change the angle of attack, because that's what's happening when we lower flaps. Understood. We change our angle of attack.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, you know, no power, 100 feet off the runway, pulls all the flaps up.
Too quick.
Just all of them, and tries to level off and doesn't add any power.
Yeah.
What's coming?
Stall. Yeah.
So that's when the flight instructor says, my flight controls, takes over, adds power, and gets them out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And so here's an instance where a person was using a poor procedure, didn't use proper technique, that could have resulted in a loss in direction control accident.
Yeah.
Now, that might have been from poor training in the past, might have been nerves of the situation, a lot of things that could affect that.
Just but for the record, that was not me.
That was not Greg. No, because Greg hasn't touched an airplane in how many years?
Oh, it's been two.
Did you get to touch Clay's?
I've touched a lot of airplanes. What am I talking about?
You touched Clay's, didn't you, when he was here?
His airplane.
See, that's why I say you touched it. You didn't get in it or fly it, did you?
No. Yeah, well, so no, I flew. It. I was in it. I flew with him. Oh, okay. Remember, we flew over the Turks and Caicos.
Oh, okay.
I've been in a lot of airplanes.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of them.
So, okay. But that's what I'm saying is that's what they mean by loss of direct control. It's kind of this big, massive category that they put it in. There are a lot of different reasons for it, but it all comes down to it's the number one reason for these fatal general aviation accidents. And so we as flight instructors have to educate both our customers learning to fly and our customers who are already pilots and our pilot friends around the world to pay attention and to make sure they're using proper procedure, proper technique, be situationally aware of what's going on around them. Be alert, be vigilant, to avoid the potential accidents.
Yeah. Now, the angle of attack issue that you're mentioning, do you think that's the majority of those particular loss of control problems? I mean, because that's a huge category. It could be mechanical. It could be operator error on some other issue or whatever.
Well, what happens if the engine dies?
You can glide to the ground.
You can glide to the ground.
Right.
But if I pull up too much and try to stretch that glide out too far,
you're going to go to the ground much quicker.
Because you're going to exceed the critical angle of attack and you have a loss of direction control.
Yeah.
So the engine or a mechanical problem, those are contributing factors, but they're not the main cause of the accident.
Got it. Okay.
You know, just like I was telling you, pilot procedure, what this guy was about to do on the checkout, that was heading in a bad direction. And if he was not with an instructor, it might have ended up in one of these statistics because he didn't use proper procedure.
So even if the engine did go out, it still could be an angle of attack problem because they exceeded it.
Yeah. You know, they think they can make a field, then they can't, and they try to stretch it out, and that actually is a very classic stall spin scenario.
Got it. Okay. So that guy who pulled the flaps up too quick and got taken out, how did he handle it?
Did he
yell out, "No!"
No. He actually didn't really see a whole lot wrong with what he did.
Oh, really?
So he's
after the flight, you took him out for a lashing or something?
No, it's a discussion of, okay, we're not going to check you out in the airplane. We think you need additional training because there's a deeper rooted problem, and we'll be happy to work with you. And, you know, hopefully he's going to continue training and improve his skills.
But he will be with
an instructor on board. He will not be allowed to rent the airplane.
Oh, so this was just a checkout ride where he did this.
He's already certified pilot. He's already passed two flight tests to get to this point.
Really?
Yeah.
And so he didn't take this very well, sounds like.
Not sure yet.
Oh, it's that fresh, huh?
Yeah, not sure yet. We're still kinda,
after this verbal lashing. I'm sure he'll be.
This will air long after he hears.
He's left town. Well, we wish him the best.
It's not like he's one of those people that probably listen to the show.
Well, remember, there's old pilots, there's bold pilots, but there's
no old, bold pilots.
It sounds like
that's for sure.
He's going down the wrong flight path in that regard, maybe. Who knows?
Yep.
Only he can say.
Yep.
But yeah, I picked up a little bit there, and I still had some of it, didn't I?
He's looking for a bone.
Like he's looking for a bone.
No, you did, Greg. You did, and that's the thing.
I can follow you. I mean, you totally fall out of the plane. I wasn't that far behind.
Yeah, no, you didn't. And like I say, that there's some concepts there that you'd have to blow the cobwebs off of.
Right. Yeah, I just got to refresh.
Yeah,
that's
because when you're talking about recovering from the stall, you were talking about pitching down. Okay, yes, you are reducing the angle of attack by moving the controls forward.
Right,
and so your instinct, your reaction was correct.
Which before I learned that stuff, I would be going like, I don't know, where's the ejector seat button? You know? But then I learned these things from Evan Keith. I'm getting there, slowly but sure.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's going on?
We're losing altitude. I'm going to try to put her down at that Air Force base.
Hey, hang on, Chris. We've got a distress call coming in.
Mayday! Mayday! Requesting emergency landing!
I see you, pilot. You are clear for landing.
This is going to be nuts.
God be with them. They landed!
And look!
They're in love.
Oh, God, I hope you'll be waiting for me when my plane lands.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Ed. And look at that. Dennis has just connected with us to finish out the show. He's going to be with me in the Turks and Caicos.
You have my condolences, Dennis.
Quizzing.
Yeah, it's taken me 9 months to mentally psych myself up for this. But.
Well, you know, we're going to be
the sacrifices I am willing to make.
He is very excited about being on the trip and diving. I know he is.
Not nearly as much as my daughter, though.
He's not really looking forward.
I was not referring to that part of the trip. I was just being with you for a week.
I gotcha. And there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
That's right.
The only way to get away is to swim to land. But I think we'll have a good time regardless. But yeah, you're going to plan on quizzing me just orally. You're not bringing any materials, flashcards, or anything like that.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to pack up the latest GLIME manual and bring
GLIME manual.
With. What? The GLIME,
that's a test booklet.
Test prep book that's going to have practice tests. And yeah, we're going to put you through it. We want to see where you are so we know where you need to study.
I don't like this whole reading thing.
Obviously.
All right. So
speak and understand English. Isn't that a requirement?
Yeah, that is a requirement.
It's a multiple guest test, though, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Heavy on the guess.
Heavy on the guess. Mm-hmm. That usually doesn't work well with these, but hey, give it a shot. Hey, I do, Dennis. I do want proof of performance. So you know, video. You know, test scores.
Absolutely.
You know, a report. You know, maybe he also needs to have an essay. You know, at the end of all of it, what did I learn?
Well, I said I would be willing to subject myself to an oral exam. You know, like he could just quiz me. Hey, what do you do in this scenario? And then I'll have to ask, you know, answer like I know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Or make up something that sounds good, impressive.
Well, and we'll have an impartial witness. I'll have my daughter there with her camera to record it so we can capture it. It'll be just kind of like, you know, you setting up a tent at Oshkosh.
It was It's Sun and Fun. So there,
sorry.
In your face, loser.
But right. I do want that posted on the Just Plain Radio website.
I don't think it exists.
We should have lots of time in between the dives. You know, we've got nothing else to do while we're off gassing and waiting to go back down for another one.
Well, we can talk about.
You can't
planes.
Start drinking until the evening dives, anyway. So,
well, that might help me.
But that
guess
might help
better.
Your score.
Exactly. No, I think I remember. I bet I remember a good 70% of the stuff. Is my guess.
Well, and that's a passing grade, so let's see how it goes.
Well, let's say 65. I don't know.
He's backpedaling.
It's hard to say. You know, the problems like on the written test where you have to do the calculations, nah, I'm going to totally screw that up. I'm not going to remember what the formula is again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the general stuff, general rules of the skies and things, I think I'm going to remember a lot of that. You don't think? You're looking at me like no way in hell, Greg.
No, it's like, okay, I'm just starting to come up with some questions right now. Let's try and see how many we get.
All right, hit me.
Okay, we'll do 10 questions.
10? We don't have time for that. I got two tops. Go.
Two tops. Okay. What happens when an airplane wing stalls?
A, B, or C, or D?
No.
What do you mean, no?
This is an oral exam. You don't have A, B, or C, or D questions in an oral exam. You have to explain things.
Well, there's not enough wind going over the wings, and you
didn't
exceed
we just
that
cover this earlier
angle of
in the
attack.
Right? Okay, we exceeded the angle of attack.
Yeah, so okay. Am I correct?
Well, my question for you is: the wing producing any lift at that point?
What, when it stalls?
When
or?
It's stalled?
No. It's not creating enough lift.
All right.
Whoa!
Yeah, I am impressed.
Yeah. Hello. Learning has occurred.
Not every brain cell up there was damaged.
Still?
I think I might have to give him a banana on that one.
I had a banana right before we started the show.
That's why.
I was way ahead of you.
All right, Dennis, you got one for him?
So what is the frequency we'd use in an emergency if you needed to get a hold of air traffic control?
Ah, the emergency frequency.
What is that?
He's looking to me.
No,
he's looking to me like I'm going to signal it to him.
That's what it is. It's the you dial up the emergency frequency.
And
911?
No, it's 1200, or is it 222? No, that's room 222. I want to say 2100.
We're not talking squawk code. We're talking radio frequency, com frequency.
Channel 16 on the boat. See, that'd be the right answer next week when we're in Turks and Caicos, Dennis.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes there's going to be issues where I'm going to mix up the boating.
You're cross-pollinating between the shows and you forget.
So, what? Okay, yeah, what
so,
is it?
So we're at 50% at this point.
It's a three-number thing, right?
No, it's
four
actually.
Digits,
it is four.
Four
it's not 1,200.
You're thinking squawk code. 1,200 is VFR squawk code. You're talking transponder, not comm radio.
Ah, so the comm radio.
Tower at executive is 118.70.
Right, 118.70. Yeah, I'm at a loss.
I'm ground is 121.4.
121.4.
So if you add 0.1 to the ground frequency, what do you have?
Oh, you're giving him too much.
It's still math. He's got to count.
Yeah, 121.5.
Yay! Ding, 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 ding.
That's what we call enabling.
121.5 is emergency comm code all across the U.S.
All across the world.
Standard.
All right. So
airplanes fly across borders.
True. They can do that, I guess. All right. So you should not get on the 121.5 and say, hey, I'd like to order a pizza.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's a problem. Apparently, a lot of people are doing that on guard frequency and causing some issues.
Are they delivering the pizza?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. I was worried there for a minute.
He's off the hook with only two questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll end it at that. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.